our sermon series has been Got to Have Heart. And we've been using the Gospel of Luke as kind of our background. Today's title of the sermon is Tethers. And if you would please join me in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 20, verses 27 through 38. Some of the Sadducees, who say there is no resurrection, came to Jesus with a question. Teacher, they said, Moses wrote for us that if a man's brother dies and leaves a wife, but no children, the man must marry the widow and have children for his brother. Now there were seven brothers. The first one married a woman and died childless. The second, and then the third, married her. And in the same way, the seven died, leaving no children. Finally, the woman died too. Now then, at the resurrection, whose wife will she be, since the seven were married to her? Jesus replied, "The people of this age marry and are given in marriage, but those who are considered worthy of taking part in that age and in the resurrection from the dead will neither marry nor be given in marriage. And they can no longer die, for they are like the angels. They are God's children, since they are children of the resurrection. But in the account of the bush, even Moses showed that the dead rise, for he calls the Lord the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but of the living. For to him all are alive." Some of the teachers of the law responded, "Well said, teacher." And no one dared to ask him any more questions. Let us repeat that verse 38. He is not the God of the dead, but of the living. For to him all are alive. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God. Those tethers, they can be tricky. When I was looking up the word tethers, I think of tether as a connection and as a positive connotation. My first connection is tetherball, which was our favorite at recess. And you never lost the ball. That was one of my favorites. And the lines would be long. But when I would look up the word tether, preparing for this sermon, it always started with a reminder of captive, of not being free, that you were always chained to something. Now, some of us have family relationships where that's probably very, very true. Families can be a tricky, tricky beast. If you've noticed, I rarely call God the Father. I sometimes say Heavenly Parent. And that is because I try to respect that not everybody had a good relationship with their parents. So that when I say Father, Heavenly Parent, some of you have such good relationships or did, that's just a holy comfort. But there are some people, if I refer to God as a parent, a bitter taste comes to their mouth. They might look down, that they can't even imagine that God could be good then. So if you've ever picked that up, that is why I choose to say Creator usually. I do sometimes say Heavenly Parent because some of us do have that moment that we can't think of anything more comforting. Oh, those family tethers are tricky. If you ever read the Bible, I don't know if you've noticed, but siblings, whew, some of those connections are rough. I mean, let's just start with Cain and Abel. Murder, in case you haven't read that part. I mean, it doesn't really get worse than that. And then we have Jacob and Esau, betrayal. We have the sisters who vied for a spouse, where parents got involved and were trying to be helpful. We have the relationship we just read about, seven brothers. And there was a woman, and she was married, and they had no child. So the custom was then to marry the next brother in hopes of having a child. This is that earthly desire to leave a legacy. Except, what if the woman didn't love the next brother? Oh, but that wasn't the option. That's not what they offered. And some of you might have looked up here and were confused. We'll get to that. But see, actually, they were trying to be kind when they said to marry the next brother. It was important for them to realize a widow had no one to care for her. And if she had no heirs, no one to care for her. So this was a way to protect her. And she married one brother, two brother, all the way through all seven. Never a child. And so the Sadducees, sometimes like the Pharisees, like to quiz Jesus. Well, then who's the real husband? Is it husband number one, the first marriage? Would it have been the husband that actually gave her a child? Or is it the last husband that was the last memory? Or was it one of the middle brothers who might have had the longest marriage? And Jesus pointed out, how we all try to make sense of that next world. How we want to always put it in terms that we understand. And Jesus is like, but that's not that world. See, that's another life in a way. It's a continuation, but it's not of this world. This is temporary. And you are trying to take your temporary limitations and put it into my eternal. But we only have the relationships we know here to compare to. But that's because we're here. And these are the ones to attend to now. When it is time, more will be revealed. But if you are like me, we get impatient. So one of the things that was going to change in the bulletin is you see Holy Communion. This is not communion. This is called a love feast, because we will be doing things a little differently. A love feast is to remember the Last Supper. And you'd be like, Pastor Susie, I believe that's what communion is. And I would say, sort of. See, sacrament is we actually believe the Holy Spirit to be in the elements. That we believe that we are truly participating in the receiving of Jesus, the body and the blood of Jesus that was shed for us. We do a holy practice of tradition we keep it reverent and sacramental. That is one of our sacraments. But today we are doing a love feast, a remembrance of that holy event. But not all dinners are the same. Some will be bitter, some salty, some sweet, some traditional. We're in that holiday season. Ah, who has ever hosted a family gathering? None of you have brought any family in your home? Thank you. Because this next moment, that moment of hosting, that morning you wake up, and we'll say in church how you're so joyful. But the real truth, when you wake up, you go, God, why did I do this? Why am I inviting all these people in my home? These people. Probably your children. Maybe your parents. Those siblings. And it feels overwhelming. Because we are complex creatures with all those emotions that leave us excited, that leave us hopeful, that leave us bitter, that leave us angry, that some things aren't resolved, and that when we lose them, we're never the same. And how some of us would give that do-over for that last meal in a heartbeat. Or maybe it was that holy meal, the one where you resolve some issues, the one where you recalled your favorite memories. When I worked for it was called Support Systems up in North Dakota. I was a support coordinator for individuals with disabilities. And our secretary, godly woman, this is back in the day when cell phones, like, you had to pay for ringtones, and it was a church bell that would go off in the office. She had seen some things. She was one of those that Jesus found on the dark, dark road, and her husband had experienced quite the life. Sometimes I wonder if that's why she was so vocal about her faith, because she had known what it was like without it. Her and her husband were part of a motorcycle club. Now, you don't know her, but she was kind of older, kind of small. And just imagining her getting in her big leather jacket and climbing on this big motorcycle with her husband was quite the sight. She died tragically. It was a train. They had been out hunting, and it was not well marked. But why I share this with you is that Friday afternoon, all of the coordinators were in the office, which is very rare because we have so many meetings that we'd have to go meet individuals, whether it's at the hospital or their homes or their. And then Friday afternoon, sometimes if you didn't have a meeting, you started your weekend early. But all six of us were there in the office. And we just laughed. And as she got her jacket on for the weekend, we all were like waving her goodbye. It was this holy moment. And we even remarked, because we had one of those vestibules where she went in and she came back and kind of gave us a smile. She's like, I feel like you're sending me off. And we all laughed at that because it felt holy and real. And that was the last time we saw her. Some of us don't get that send-off. Some of us were angry. Some of us, our words were not words we would have ever said. with that song that we heard today. If I had known, I would have treated it much differently. As a pastor, I have held the hands of many people who grieve that moment. And I want you to know, your loved ones know. That was one moment. You had a lifetime to love them. So any of you carrying that guilt, as your pastor, I implore you to let go. I promise you, they have. I'm not saying when you get to heaven, because I don't know how this will look, I'm not saying they're not going to greet you like, whoo, I bet you wish you had said something different. I've waited years to tell you. Whoo. Because I believe some of you had that joking relationship with your loved one. And they wouldn't trade that for the world. So Pastor Susie, what are you doing up there? I'm setting our love feast. Because some of you need to have that last meal. Maybe you need to hear the sourness. Taste the sourness. Some of you will need a sweet reminder. Some of you might need that moment with Jesus if you were at the Last Supper with him. We also have the sheet behind us. This is where you sign the names of the saints that went before you. I believe it hasn't been out for a couple years. Usually it's updated yearly. So if you have not had the opportunity to add your beloved saint, there are markers for you up there to sign it. In a moment, we will light candles, and you are welcome to lift a name of a loved one as that candle is lit. As this is not communion, but so you know, for United Methodist Church, we always practice what's called an open table, that there are no conditions for you to come in to receive. But as this is a love feast, this is what you bring to the table. How you want to honor your memory. Whether it's a recreation, whether it's what you had hoped it would have been, whether it's the chance to remember. See, relationships with their tethers, sometimes people are going to tell you how that relationship has to be. For instance, sometimes people put expectations on you because of your job, because of your role in the family, sometimes with your name. Susie. Oh, I've heard those songs. I've heard the terms. Little Susie Homemaker. I do not live up to that name. I don't really clean, I'm not super organized, and I have never hosted a party where I go, yay! I am always praying, why did I say yes? And I often usually blame my family, my sweet, sweet husband, who also didn't want the event. But we are in that sandwich generation where we are blessed to have our moms and my dad live close by. My brother's family, as a family who was military and always moving and the closest relative lived 8 hours away, I still don't understand these family Christmases and Thanksgivings and birthdays. I don't think my grandparents celebrated my birthday once. My child can have 5 parties in a year. But I do see the blessing. Somebody's going to tell you how you should react to your siblings. Someone's going to tell you how to love your parents. Some of you parents, well, you know you're doing it wrong either way. You're too light or you're too strict. You should say more loving words. You should have a harsher tone. They should have more rules. They should be free to do what they want. You should work, but you should also stay home all day. It's very conflicting. So those tethers, you have to define those relationships. So the table that I am setting before you, you are welcome, once we have lit the candles, to come. I did that wrong. Okay. So the plate I just filled is supposed to be the gluten-free. It is no longer the gluten-free. But we do have the individuals that should be gluten-free. The individuals are gluten-free. I'm so sorry. And oh, how I wish I did live up to that name of Susie Homemaker right now. There we go. Okay. So, these different meals. Perhaps you remember a romantic date or a nice day, night out where you have the bread and the dipped in oil. But that also might have a sour taste, as it is sourdough with oil. Perhaps a salty meal or a simple meal between friends, a snack after school, water and crackers. Traditional, like communion, bread that you can dip in juice. Bread and an individual juice. The travel cups where the juice and the wafer are individualized, or a sweet feast, sugar cookie and sweet tea. There are extra cups for however you would like to pour. You are welcome to sample one or all. This is your meal to remember. If I could ask Drew forward. You want to grab one of the lighters? On All Saints Day, we remember those lives we've lost. And in this world, how we grieve that connection. How they formed a place in our heart, and they helped make us who we are. Is why we grieve them here. And how we long to know when we are reunited, what that will look like. As we light this candle, you are welcome to lift up a name. We will give a brief silence to allow prayer, to allow you to feel the feelings. As we light this first candle, a name I would like to lift up is Reverend Tommy Bailey. as we light the next candle. Is there any names we would like to lift up? As we light the third candle. As we light the fourth candle.
Christine Wood.
As we light the fifth candle. As we light the sixth candle. As we light the seventh candle. As we light our eighth candle.
Bill and Denise Hodge.
As we light our ninth candle. As we light our 10th and final candle, for 10 is the number of completion. If there are any other names on your heart, please feel free to lift them, even if they go over one another. Darlene Williams.
Bill and Lynn Bowen.
Glenda Marler.
Ruth Henry.
Betty Shirley.
Our love feast has been set. There is no rules. You are welcome to participate however you want. If you want to share communion with one another, if you want to take an individual moment, again, sour, salty, traditional, not gluten-free, but semi-traditional, the individual, which should be gluten-free, sweet. There are cups if you would like to pour, if we have ran out. You are welcome to have one, none, all. There is this can there. As it is not sacramental, if you do taste something that is not pleasing, you are more than welcome to just place it in that bin. Also, I ask any cups to please go in there when you are done. You do not have to come in a line. This is your time to honor that last meal, whether it be the Last Supper with Jesus, that Last Supper you had with a loved one, or if you could have had that Last Supper. The table has been set for the love feast. Also, please feel free to sign the sheet if you have not been able to add your loved one's name. I pray that you had a holy feast. I pray that the taste kind of resided in your mouth, whether that was from the bitter, the salty, the sour, or the sweet. I pray that those tethers that you feel offer safety, offer connection. When I think of a tether, even though the word defined often as uncomfortable and captive, I saw it as a safety line to remind us we're not alone. Whether it's helping to guide like a leash with our pets, or lovingly with our children, or also those carabiners when we rely on one another climbing those tough mountains. Let us feel that connection. We will not be singing our final hymn. I promise we will sing it soon. That is one of my favorites. But if you would please join me in prayer. Almighty God, we don't always know when our last time will be our last time. Please help us to carry the fruit of the Spirit and to share it as often as we can. But God, let us also remember that our life is never defined in one moment. That the moments we share together, that's our tether. That's what builds our connection. Whether it's celebrating, whether it's sharing in the loss or grief or hardships, that's what builds our relationships. And that, God, you are our almighty example. For you are with us from the big to the small to the ordinary, through the sweet, celebratory, the tough tragedies, and all those other emotions you have gifted us to experience this world at this time. God, those names we lifted up, how we feel that pain, but that we also celebrate that we knew them, that we love them and they loved us. And for those names that we couldn't even bring ourselves to say, we thank you for them too. Even the complicated relationships. God, in your precious name, amen.